This sermon is from the series entitled Eyewitness Accounts, the Gospel of Luke, preached at Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington.
When has someone told you something that they claim is helpful, but you really aren't sure? Maybe it's when you're in school and somebody told you that a girl liked you, but they really didn't like you. They just were trying to figure out if you liked them so that they could tease you. Maybe it's a coworker who tells you something at work, and it seems like they're really just trying to stir up the pot, or they're trying to badmouth someone else so that they make themselves look better and kind of play the political games. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that we can do that, where somebody will tell you something, but your senses kind of go out and go, I don't know if this is everything, the whole story, and there may be some ulterior motives here. Well, I start a sermon off because Jason, in our passage today, Jesus faces exactly that. We are going through the book of Luke. If you're new here at Crossway, we just preached through a book, and we are about halfway through the book of Luke, and we find ourselves in Luke 13, verses 31 through 35, and we'll see that Jesus finds himself in this predicament where people say they're trying to be helpful to him. It's the Pharisees. But as far as me, I mean, we know Jesus knows the truth, but I wonder in this text if they're actually looking out for him or if they're looking out for their own interests. And so this is the setting of our passage here today. This is the word of the Lord. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today, tomorrow, and on the third day. I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today, tomorrow, and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" As I said, this passage is a kind of a peculiar passage, to be honest with you. Sometimes you come across them and you see these interchanges and you kind of wonder what's going on here. And in this situation, I think that's where we're at. The Pharisees warned Jesus that Herod wanted to kill him, and they say in all kind of on face value that they're trying to help him. "We want you to get out of here to protect you." But if you followed anything in the story, you know that the Pharisees and Jesus are not always on the best of terms. Like if you look at the earlier chapters, you'll see that he says some pretty strong woes to them. And even later, we'll see that he says some pretty strong words to them. And so their motives may not be absolutely clear or clean. They may actually want to get rid of him and get rid of the distraction that he is because he keeps on accumulating these crowds and he teaches them things besides what they want the people to know, and he's threatening their own religious power. But we do need to be honest that this could be a credible threat, because the fact of the matter is that Herod's known to be a little bit of a hothead. And he beheaded John the Baptist. We see that recorded in actually Mark 6. And in that time, he actually was afraid that maybe Jesus was John the Baptist who came back to life again and was going to come out to get him. And so it's interesting that this threat is there. But I think we don't need to get caught up in the situation or the threat or the intentions of the Pharisees, because Jesus' response, I think, reminds us of some pretty important truths. And the first response reminds us that nothing can stop Christ's mission. Think about this. Jesus is just told that there is a threat on his life. They literally come to him and say, "This guy who's the king, the regional leader, wants to kill you." Not exactly words I would like to hear, right? I mean, imagine if somebody came to you and said, "Hey, just so you know, Governor Inslee's put a hit on your head." Or President Biden and the Navy SEALs are out to get you. I don't know what my reaction would be. But Jesus doesn't back down at all. Jesus rather stays true to his mission. And I think that's the important for us to see things in this text. One is that he is going to be clear that no matter what happens to him, and he is clear that he's going to die. We'll look at what his mission here is in a second. He understands the gravity of the situation, but yet he pushes back on that. His response to the Pharisee says, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today, tomorrow, and the third day, and I will reach my goal." Now that phrase there, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I think is just, I'm going to keep on moving forward. I'm going to keep on doing this. Some people can get caught up in the 3 days, like it's his death and resurrection. I think that's pushing it a little bit myself. I mean, there's hints of it here. I think it's more of an idiom and this thing of, I'm going to keep pushing towards my goal. And that phrase that the NIV translates as, I will reach my goal, has that sense of completion. I'm going to never stop until I reach the goal of what I need to be. I'm going to keep pressing forward no matter what. And in his response to Herod, we see that earthly powers cannot stop God's mission. I think that's an important thing for us to know and for us to remember. Because sometimes when we look at the news and when we look at the events of the world around us, we can wonder, where is God in all of this? And a passage like this, Jesus' response to say, hey, Herod's going to kill you, you got to get out of here. He's like, no, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm going to keep on doing, what God has put me here for, and I'm going to stay true to my mission. And I think it's a good reminder for us that no matter what happens in the political sphere, whatever happens here in just both elections and also in things like the war of Ukraine, that none of that can stop God's mission. It's good for us to be reminded of this before the political season heats up. I don't know about you, we stream and we have over-the-air antenna, and I'm amazed at the number of political hats that are happening right now. I mean, it was crazy before we had our election, but now it seems with Oregon having 3 gubernatorial candidates, it's like an onslaught of them. I almost feel like I'm in Iowa in the primary election again, where every ad is a political candidate. And it reminds us that we're going to have changes of who's going to be governor or who's going to be president. And we see transitions of other countries as well. And when we see that, we can kind of have this fear. Is our person going to win? Is our country going to go the way that we want it to? All of these things can kind of weigh us down. But Jesus' response is, hey, I don't care what Herod is going to do. It's not going to thwart my mission. God's mission is stronger. And that's a good reminder to us that no matter who's president, no matter who's governor, no matter who's our mayor, no matter who's running whatever thing, none of that can keep God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. And that's a truth that we need to let sink deep down inside our hearts here today. It's a truth that Jesus communicates in our passage very succinctly and bluntly. But Jesus doesn't stop there. See, these religious leaders are all about, hey, we're trying to protect you. That's the guise of what they're trying to do. And so he starts taking shots at them as well. And the inferred in that is, hey, if Herod can't stop me in my mission, you and your own religious opposition can't stop my mission as well. He says, in any case, I must press on today, tomorrow, and the next day. That same idea of keep on pressing forward. And he says, even though you're trying to get rid of me and get me to get away from Jerusalem, that's exactly where I'm going to go. And you tell Herod this, but also realize that the religious leaders, even those religious leaders in Jerusalem, the city that's supposed to be the city of the people of God, where the temple of God resides, who's supposed to be the light to the world around them, even though that's what they're supposed to be, they aren't acting that way. In fact, they're actually stoning and persecuting the people that God sent to draw them closer back to him. Even that opposition is not going to keep me from doing what I've called to do. I'm going to move forward and go into Jerusalem. I am going to do whatever it takes to do what God's called me to do. And in this, again, we see that not only earthly rulers can't oppose God's mission, but even religious opposition inside and outside of God's people cannot stop God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish through Christ. And again, it's a good reminder for us here today. Sometimes we can look at our culture and we can think, man, you know, it's especially for those of us who are a little bit older, it seems like this whole thing about Christianity, we're becoming more on the margins, and we can be concerned and we can wonder, where is God in all of this? Like, why is God allowing this to happen? Well, whatever opposition we face, we know that none of that can stop God from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. Sometimes it can be pluralism, or it can be even other religions can kind of push down Christianity. We see that in countries where persecution is there. Sometimes even our own battles, it seems, are within Christianity itself. We hear pastors who are failing in all different kinds of ways. And we can wonder, man, can even these pastors mess things up? Now, they do mess things up, unfortunately. They do hurt people, and there's a lot of things that need to be untangled in that. I don't want to talk glibly about that. But I think the point that Jesus is trying to make in our text is this. Christ had a mission, and nothing was going to stop it. Not a king who is trying to attack him, not religious opponents who are trying to move him away from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. Nothing is going to deter that mission. And in those times when we wonder and when we doubt, we need to remind ourselves of God's supremacy. That's why we sang songs like we did about the Ancient of Days today, to remind us that he is the God over everything, and nothing happens outside of his plan. And even those things that seem to oppose him will not overcome it. And we need to live in such a way. So this is the truth that we see. Nothing, not earthly powers, not religious opposition, nothing can stop Christ from his mission. But we also see Christ's mission in this passage. The verse one is just to thwart evil. He tells Herod, hey, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm going to get rid of the demons and show them that I am this messianic figure that I claim to be. I'm going to drive out these evil spirits, and I'm going to take care of that problem. He also warns that Jerusalem is going to be judged for their actions. And if you know anything about history and the Jewish history in 70 AD, it happened. They were completely wiped out and desolated. And it's a brutal thing that the people of Israel had to go through. But he warns them, if you oppose the mission of God, there will be justice there, and I will thwart the evil that you've done. And so we see that in that little phrase there, look, your house is left to you desolate. But there's also another part of his mission, not just to eradicate and thwart evil, but it's also to bring healing and restoration. He says that very thing, I'm going to bring healing to the people. I'm not going to let that fox, that crafty, malicious character who's trying to come after me, thwart anything. I'm going to show people that I am this Messiah figure, do the things that God's called me to do, and drive out those demons and bring healing today, tomorrow, and on the third day until I reach my goal. But the most important thing that we see of his mission is that he's going to die. You know, oftentimes people will say, well, Jesus, I don't know if Jesus really knew he was going to die. I don't know about you, but twice in here he says, I'm a prophet who's going to die. I'm going to keep going to Jerusalem because no great prophet can die outside Jerusalem. And then he talks about how he's going to go to Jerusalem, and the history of Jerusalem is that the people are going to have stoned or killed the prophets, which implies that Jerusalem is going to kill him as well. Now, it's not through stoning, it's through the crucifixion. But we see in this passage that Jesus is absolutely clear that he knows what his mission is. His mission is to thwart evil and to bring healing. And the ultimate way that he can bring healing is by laying his own life down on the cross and suffering the wrath of God that you and I deserve so that we can have a relationship with him. And in doing so, we see that he accomplishes the other goal that we see in this text, which is to gather God's people. I don't know if you noticed it in our call to worship today, but we specifically chose Psalm 57 because it talks about being under the protection of God's wings. That's the image that's there. And Jesus talks about this image in our text here today. He says that he has longed to gather the children of Israel, the people of Israel, together as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings. But these people are stubborn and hard-hearted and unwilling to do that. But in it, we see the compassion and the heart of God. One who's going to come and gather the chicks and protect them under their wings, keep them safe. And Christ accomplishes that on the cross. It's an interesting thing, this image of foxes and chickens. Because normally, if you have a fox and a chicken, you think you know who's going to win, right? My family's always had a fox, a fascination with fox, because that's what my last name means. But I know that if a fox is going to take on a chicken, especially a hen, it's probably not, that hen's not going to win. And in order for that hen to protect her chicks, she's probably going to have to lay down her life and take that initial blow. And that's what we see here. We see here Christ's heart, that he's going to protect his children by laying down his life. But when he does so, it's going to offer the protection and the safety that they need. And we see it here, that Old Testament often uses that image of a bird protecting its young for God protecting its people. I mean, I just have two of the Psalms here. There's literally about 10 of them that talk about this image. It's an image that's throughout the text. But the people of Israel who heard Jesus talk in this language should have had these Old Testament references pop up, and they should have seen that God was at work doing something. Because most of these passages not only talk about personal protection, but they also talk about Christ and the Messiah coming and God doing his thing where he's going to finally come and protect his people. And it's a good reminder for us, this image of God's protection under the wing, that no matter what happens with the earthly powers or whatever happens with religious authorities, God will protect his believers. It doesn't mean that life isn't going to go easy and that it's just going to be simple. But what it does mean is that he will be there with us each and every step of the way, guiding and directing our thoughts, because nothing can thwart God's mission. The last thing that we see that Jesus is going to accomplish is that he's going to come again in victory. He says to the people of Jerusalem, hey, look, you will not see me again until I say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, that is an exact, like we would say verbatim today, quote of Psalm 118, verse 26. And in that passage, it is this whole idea of the one who Jesus rejected. It's the stone that the builders rejected, is Psalm 118, verse 22, that Jesus quotes later in Luke, has become the cornerstone. And then it talks about how God's going to come in, and it's God in Yahweh, the name of the creator God of the universe, and he's going to come and save his people. And it's right after he says that the Lord save us, Lord grant us success, and he's done it this day, that the people cry out this phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so what we see here is that Jesus not only says that he's going to come and do his ministry here on earth, that he's going to live the life that he did, but also someday he's going to come back again and eradicate evil for good and fully restore our relationship with God. And he predicts his coming saying, in that day, when the people cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that God's mission will be ultimately completed. That is the goal of his mission. So what are the ways that we can join Christ on his mission? There's all kinds of different things here I could highlight, but there's two I want to, one, that we live in a way that we trust God's mission will prevail. For some of us, we might be in different times where we wonder how we're going to engage in our culture, and And how do we deal with all of these different ideas that are kind of gaining ground? And how do we shine God's light in all of this? And we can wonder how we do that. Well, one of the best ways we can do it is to show people that we live differently, that our lives are to a different beat or to a different rhythm and to a different melody. And it's going to be a little disconcerting to people because it's going to be different than what they expect. But one of the ways that we can show people that we're different is that there's a peace in us. There's a trust in us that even when life doesn't go the way that we want it to, even when we go through difficult circumstances, and even when maybe the world goes in a different direction, that there's a fortitude in us because we know that nothing can thwart God's mission. We know that on a corporate level, and we know that on a personal level. And the more that we can live in this space, the more that we show the world that something is different than us. There's a bedrock about us that's different, and we can use that to speak the gospel to them. The other thing we can do is just help gather God's people. If Christ has a heart to go after his people and gather them in, then we can have a heart for those who don't know Jesus. And we can do our part in trying to reach out to them, have those tough conversations with them, and even just love on them. And in that way, show the love of Christ to them that Christ demonstrates here in our text. So I think that's really where we have to go with this thing. Jesus shows us that in a sense of adversity, when it seems like the world is crumbling, the king is after him. He doesn't shrink. Rather, he stands and says, tell that box I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing because the mission of God keeps on going. And when there's religious opposition, when the leaders who should have known what was going on and seeing Jesus for who it is, but instead are trying to play games to get him out of their system, his response is just simple. Even you can't oppose my mission. But Christ's mission is clear. He came to live and to die and to gather God's people through a faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that someday we too will be with that group of people that say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord when Christ comes and his victory is complete. And so that is where our hope, that is where our trust, and that is where our redemption is ultimately found. Let's pray.
You have just watched a sermon from Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we'd love to have you come join us for a worship service on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 311 North Parkway Avenue in Battleground, Washington. If you'd like to find more information about us online, you can find it at crosswaychurchwa.com.